You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves with SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 14th of January 2021. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, is there a place for Bitcoin in your investment portfolio? Chris Weston will have more. But first, let's talk about the rental market in property, because the team at Domain says that we are seeing a two-speed market, but for some renters, they have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to renegotiate their rental agreements. Now, Domain says national rents for houses rose nearly 5%. That's the steepest annual increase in a decade. Rents rose in all capitals except Melbourne. Perth saw the biggest year-on-year increase at 13.5%, followed by Darwin. But it is a different story for apartments. They're down 5.7% nationally in 2020, and that's the steepest fall on record. It was driven by our two largest capital cities, with apartment rents down almost 8% in both Sydney and Melbourne. In fact, for the first time in 5 years, it's now cheaper to rent a unit in Brisbane than in Melbourne. So it's cheaper to rent a unit in Brisbane than in Melbourne. For more, I spoke earlier with Domain Senior Research Analyst Nicola Powell. Nicola, is it a renters or a landlord market at the moment?
I think we're definitely seeing different rental conditions across our capital cities. Most are actually landlord markets. The markets that are really swinging towards the tenants are Sydney and Melbourne. I think tenants have strong negotiating power in these two cities, particularly for unit rents.
Okay. There is a difference, though, between rents for houses and rents for apartments or units, isn't there, across the country? Can you explain that?
Nationally, house rents have reached a record high. It made the steepest annual increase in a decade, and most capital cities have now hit record high asking rents for houses. It has become a bit of a two-speed rental market. Units made the steepest annual fall on record. Nationally, we've got unit rents sitting at the lowest point they have since 2014, but that really is being led by strong declines in Sydney and Melbourne units.
And why is that? Why are we seeing those decline in rents for units?
It's particularly towards those inner city apartments and inner city locations, because proportionally there are more rentals in these areas. They also have a much greater exposure to demand that's sourced from overseas migrants. And obviously with those international border closures, it's really had a devastating impact on overseas migration, but also foreign student population. But also some of these areas have seen heightened apartment construction in recent years. So it's helped to add to that supply pool, particularly when you look towards Sydney. We were actually seeing unit asking rents decline prior to the pandemic anyway. So they've been declining annually since around mid-2018. What the pandemic has done is created greater demand shocks and helped to accelerate the declines that we've seen in asking rents in Sydney.
Can you run through which cities have seen the biggest increases and the worst increases?
So it's been really interesting to see the recovery in Perth and Darwin. They really ended 2020 becoming one of our strongest rental markets in terms of growth. We've really seen a turnaround in both of these markets. It's been a rental recovery. They're following a multiple years of rental declines. I think we're seeing a rental demand increase at a time supply has been declining. I think as we see that domestic travel resume, we see overseas Australians return, and also interstate employees, particularly so for Perth. I think with the ever-changing border restrictions, what it means is those interstate workers from the East Coast have actually chosen to relocate during this pandemic and relocate their entire families. So I think that's why we're seeing increased demand, particularly in WA, particularly in some of these resource-associated towns.
Do you think these trends will continue?
So I think we're likely to continue to see tight rental conditions, particularly in our regional markets and some of our capital city markets as well, particularly those that have had greater success in containing the virus. But I really think it's going to be those lifestyle areas and those coastal locations which will continue to see very tight rental conditions. We are seeing a bit of a lifestyle exodus from our major capital cities, and I think it's the lure of these lifestyle and coastal areas that are really going to see strong stronger rental conditions. I think in terms of the weakness, Sydney and Melbourne unit rents are likely to remain weak for the foreseeable future until we see that international border reopen.
Okay, so what's your advice then to renters renewing their lease or looking for a new place? And the flip side, what about for landlords? I guess especially in those inner city areas where there's a bit more supply now.
Absolutely. So we are in that kind of peak changeover period where those leases are coming to an end. So I think for some tenants, it really is offering a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to renegotiate their rents. We have seen some suburbs in inner-city Melbourne and Sydney that have made rental falls over the year by 20% and some even more so, particularly in inner-city Melbourne. So I think there has been a significant change. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save hundreds of dollars and renegotiate that rent. There is lots of supply in those inner-city locations, so I think it's utilising that to your benefit and actually negotiating those rents. I think for landlords, I think landlords have seen a big adjustment in a fairly short period of time for those inner city apartments. And I think, it's making sure that your rent is at market rate.
Nicola Powell there from Domain. The Australian share market closed higher for a second session in a row. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.43% to 6,715. Tech stocks led the charge, Afterpay up 9.7% on a broker upgrade, and it followed the debut of another buy now, pay later company on the US share market called Affirm Holdings, which doubled on debut. Should also talk about Whitehaven Coal, which surged 3%. Whitehaven told the ASX today the nation's trade war with the Australian coal sector was reshaping the market and that customers for thermal coal, which is used for heating and electricity, are being found in alternate destinations like India, Pakistan and the Middle East, supporting prices. But prices for metallurgical coal, which is used to produce steel, remain weak in the absence of Chinese buyers. Elsewhere, the Commonwealth Bank rose 0.4%, BHP down 0.4%, and medical imaging group ProMedicus, it did well, up 15% on a US deal. For more on the day's action, including Bitcoin, I spoke earlier with Chris Weston from Pepperstone. Chris, the market's up a little stronger today. Why?
Well, it's emphatic with what we've been seeing around the region. Japan's up quite strong. We've seen the Hang Seng up quite nicely as well. S&P futures are up a touch. There's a bit of talk around the traps that we're going to see Biden announce a $2 trillion stimulus. So this idea of fiscal stimulus resonating from the US seems to be sort of giving us that further lift. And the idea that we're going to see a genuine recovery story playing through, better earnings in the cyclical situation playing through. And that's giving us a bit of lift. So if you look in the sectors, tech, doing quite nice, a bit of story around Afterpay there. Banks are putting in some good points, and at the bottom you've got materials. So yeah, I think a bit of stimulus chatter doing the rounds today, Ricardo.
What's the latest on US bond yields, and how is that impacting the market?
We had a recent rise up to close to 120 or 1.2%. We've pulled back to about 111, 1.1%. We're pretty flat on the change on the day there, so we'll have to see what happens when US trade gets underway there. But at the moment, for me, the idea that higher bond yields are going to cause a derailment in asset prices and equity prices, I think that's wrong. It's also happened that inflation expectations, which again can be measured in the bond market, have been pushing up as well, and that's just meant that people have gone into assets that do well in higher inflation, such as financial assets, copper, the good hedges that you have against the higher inflation situation. And the Federal Reserve over the last sort of 24, 48 hours have been on the offensive here, just to really reassure markets that despite what's happening and what the message we're seeing from bond markets, that they're not going to raise rates anytime soon. And more promptly, they're not going to look to end its quantitative easing program anytime soon as well, which is good for equity markets.
US corporate reporting season begins tomorrow. How significant will it be, and what are you expecting?
I think it's always interesting when a market's at all-time highs, just to be able to understand what corporate CEOs are saying about the outlook. We've got this new administration, the blue wave there. We've got vaccines which are being rolled out fairly aggressively. Just to get an understanding about the guys who are running the show and how they see the fiscal, the earnings landscape, the operating landscape, for the rest of the year and being able to understand and mark to market the reality against the situation. So I think it's really important. I mean, we're expecting about 2.5% earnings growth on the quarter, which will give us two consecutive quarterly growth numbers there. But I think that the number of companies that have been out recently giving us guidance, yeah, this one suspects this actually could be a really positive outlook statement from the corporate reporting season. But given where we are, I think it's going to be a really good exercise just to mark to market the guys who are running the show against the reality of the situation.
Finally, I'm keen to get your thoughts on Bitcoin because it's been extremely volatile of late.
Well, I mean, there's a macro trade. I mean, if you think the dollar's going to start having a bit of a resurgence, which I suspect we're getting to that point, then I would be shying away from getting exposure towards Bitcoin myself. But Bitcoin's great as a sort of trading vehicle if you've got the risk appetite. My position size would be very, very small. You've talked about the volatility; it's extreme, and that obviously has a consideration. But I think in the short term, as we're looking at what's happening in the dollar, if we see that making a resurgence, then I think there's a bit of a pullback on the cards. That said, I think given what we're seeing in the evolution of cryptos, I think this is a space that everyone needs to get an education on. I think it's going to play much more of a role in our lives as we go through. Whether Bitcoin's going to be the one driving that or something else, I do think that the digital assets got a place in our society going forward. So, yeah, I'd just be a bit cautious in the short term. And obviously, if you are trading this, just be aware of the extremities of the volatility there.
Chris Weston there from Pepperstone. That is SBS On The Money for today. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.